The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Loveline. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, we've seen that man there, Dr. Drew Pinsky. Mike Catherwood, you go crazy.
Showtime!
This is Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
This is Loveline.
Loveline. With Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood.
Yeah, balls.
You live.
How much money...
Who's your daddy, bitch? Oh... You live. Yes!
How much money do we have to spend? And look, I'll throw down to get Drew some type of, like, screen that isn't a phone.
What do you mean?
Like a computer of some sort, or like a monitor that you could
that?
Just, like... Well, because there's no possibility that you could be as... tuned into the phone as you, or
well, the problem is I get texts and stuff all the time. That's actually kind of an emergency.
That's my point.
Yeah, and the computer, I get the same thing. I get texts on all my computers and things too.
Damn it.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry about that. But you live.
How did you do like 30 years of Loveline without it then?
I would take. If you remember, I used to take phone calls during the breaks. I have to run out and take phone calls.
Yeah, I know, but I have a hard time believing.
And that, like, was really distracting.
I know,
because then
I know
I'd be
for
freaking
fact.
Out. I had a pager,
yeah,
that would go off and
you
give me a
little
message.
You actually had that at the beginning of my run on Loveline, the pager.
That would freak me the hell out.
My point, though, is, like, because 70% of it actually is medical stuff, which I can't hate on, because that you got to do it.
Yes.
But a lot of it, the stuff that actually pulls your attention away is usually people who make dumb tweets. And
yeah,
I need
sometimes.
To figure out a way to not make that happen.
All right.
Because I'm not smart enough to make the show go. We need the brain power
Got
of
it.
Drew Pinsky.
Got it.
Or you have to follow better people on Twitter.
I don't...
You know who I follow on Twitter? Eliza Schlesinger.
That's right.
Who has turned into a short Asian woman.
Huh.
Oh, no, it's Doris. No, it's not Doris. Jesus, it looked like Doris. It's Doris. It's Doris and Mark Wahlberg laughing at me.
Maybe the most racist thing you've ever said. On the
Why?
Show. Just because she's Asian doesn't mean she's Doris.
Yeah, but they all
For
look
sure.
alike. Oh, was that? Did that make it worse? Sorry. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. No, you got to cut me some credit. For those of you who know Doris, she's
Doris. Didn't she actually spell her name like D-A-R-Y-C?
Yeah, it's Doris.
Yeah, it's crap.
It's Doris.
She must be. What is she, Korean?
Mike, when I first saw her, I'm like, oh, young Doris is here.
Okay, thank you. Because, yeah. 1-800-LOVE-191 is in.
Well, I'm sure old Doris appreciates that.
Yeah,
she's not listening.
That's a good point. Eliza Schlesinger's new Netflix comedy special, Freezing Hot, available now. I'm looking at her website right now. I like this new hairdo. She looks like a young... what's her name? Weird Scientologist.
That's right. You didn't go to the...
What's the stupid Scientologist lady? Dharma and Greg.
Oh, yeah. Elfman. Jenna Elfman.
She looks like a young Jenna Elfman.
Yeah.
It's a good look for her.
You didn't go to the April Foolishness, but she killed there. Yeah.
I'm sure she did. She's a very funny person. She's a very funny person. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Worst sex advice you've ever been given?
It's actually where I assaulted her and it begged her to come on this show. Was that the April Foolishness? Worst sex advice. That's right. Or can we include in that, like, sort of people's good sex advice, what they thought was good that turns out to be, like, sick?
See, I want to hear bad sex advice, but I'd much rather hear idiots call up with what they think is good sex advice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe somebody could.
I love like 19-year-old guys who like just started listening to Tom Likas to call. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but maybe people could give us what they heard was supposed to have been good sex advice, and in retrospect is just awful. So that's some bad sex advice.
I never got sex advice. Period.
No,
I just
no.
can't imagine getting sex advice,
especially if screwballs your same age.
No, even right? like, if I was hanging around with a grown man. At an age where I'd need sex advice, and a guy gave me sex advice, I'd immediately negate everything he said.
Yeah,
I'd be like, well, you're an old man giving me sex advice.
But that you'd want to get out of, you'd want to leave the building.
Right.
Fast.
Well, you know what? That's a, you know what? I take that back. I got a great piece of sex advice a lot during like the early 90s, and that was always wear a condom. Mm. That was a great piece of sex advice, and I took it.
Mm-hmm. But we want the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We do.
Yeah.
And I want to know how you got it and who gave it to you.
Uh-huh.
And it better be like some surly guy at the end of the bar. Like, that's what I'm hoping for. Listen, kid, if there's one thing I can tell you, it's always aim for the poop chute first. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Let's start things off with Jen. Hello, Jen.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
It's our pleasure.
I was just calling to see. I've been dating this guy for like 5 months now, and I masturbate a lot, and I watch porn, and when I'm with him, like, you know, I really do enjoy having sex with him, but it's like in order to actually have an orgasm and achieve an orgasm with him, I have to think about like porn or like other people or like, and it's all, I don't know, it's always been that way. And I don't know, it's not just him, it's like past relationships too. And I feel like,
is that 100% of the time, or is it only after you've had sex with him a couple times?
No, it's 100% of the time.
All right.
In order for me to finish.
Are you also continuing to look at porn along the way?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if we're getting some of the same phenomenon in women that we've been getting in young males, which is that they're starting to get some sexual dysfunction because of all the porn. Like, the porn is so intense, they're so preoccupied with it, that their real life isn't as good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the other question would be, of course, is do you have any trauma or early porn exposure?
No, none at all.
How old were you when you started looking at porn?
Actually, fairly recently. I wasn't really into it. Mm. Maybe like 2 years ago. I'm 22 right now.
Mm. Mm. And when did you become sexually active?
When I was like sophomore in high school, it was at 16.
Okay. And then you still had to think about other people and have all these super arousing fantasies?
Yes.
Hmm. So it's not the porn,
right? I didn't even have an orgasm until I was about 19.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd had a lot of sex and never reached orgasms.
Yeah, but still young.
And that's normal, yeah. It's kind of normal.
Yeah. But, I don't know. It's like I feel like I'm cheating on him. Do you know what I mean?
No.
I'm not there in the moment.
I mean, I get what the point you're trying to make, but I certainly can't sympathize or empathize. I mean,
Yeah.
I'm more of the, hey, whatever you need to get done, you know, that's from my point of view. I know a lot of guys think differently, but if that's what you do to get an orgasm,
no, right.
Good for you.
So the question is, should you just embrace this as, hey, this is just how she does her thing? Or is it literally that she is unable to be intimate because she is so
Jesus Christ
preoccupied? What's the matter?
Sorry, I turned into Tourette's Drew, but look at Eliza Schlesinger's body.
She's right here on the other side of this glass.
Who gives a crap? I'm looking at this picture. I'm sure she's not wearing this outfit on the other side of the glass. Holy mackerel. Holy mackerel. Very interesting. All right, listen. Jen, are your male gentlemen callers, are they aware of your need for this?
I mean, I've been dating him. I don't know. No, I have not had this conversation with him.
I don't see it as a big problem. I really don't. I just think I'm from the school of thought that if a young girl, which you are, can have an orgasm consistently without even touching stuff, like just by manipulating how she thinks, you're like ahead of the game. You're like on fire.
Yeah.
That's my take. Okay. You know?
Yeah. I mean, right. Cool.
Hello, Ben.
Hey, you guys live.
You live a lot.
Awesome. All right. So long time, third time, I think. But I need you guys to help me stop being such a bitch.
All right.
So quick background. I was friends with this girl for years. She had a long-term boyfriend. Like 2 years ago, they started having problems. I made her move in. It was awesome for like 5 months. She left her boyfriend, and I was really into her. And then she broke it off, and I just cannot move past it. I listen to you guys all the time. I've been doing what you said. I go out and date plenty. I just try not to think about it. I've been, you know, focusing heavy on school and career and stuff, and I don't know. I just can't get her out of my mind.
18 months ago, right?
Yeah.
How do we get him not to be such a bitch?
That's a rough one, man. A year and a half?
Yeah, it's
I'm pissed at myself. I can't. I just intellectually, I'm just like, I don't care. I just want to move on, and I just can't.
Sounds like therapy might be in order. Did you say that she jumped ship for somebody else to be with you?
Yeah. Well, she jumped. Yeah, she was in a long-term relationship, and then they started having problems.
But you were waiting. You were cultivating this moment. You were hanging around as the, quote, friend. I like the way guys tell that story. We were good friends, and then she started having trouble in a relationship. Magically, I moved in.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was into her the whole time. There's no denying that.
Of course. Are you not, this is going to sound weird, but are you dating other women that sort of match up to her in some way?
No.
Not really, no.
Why don't you do that?
Because, well, Drew, that's not as easy as it sounds.
Right, so this was one of those happenstance that he found gold, right?
Or no, it's just like, I mean, like, nailing down a pretty girl to be your girlfriend is not easy. I mean, you know, if he had that, it's not like he can just magically he can replicate that, you know?
So how does he do that?
He's got to, first off, you can't, number one thing you can't do is wallow. You know what I'm saying? You can't just go and be like, well, what am I ever going to do to find, just at all costs surround yourself with hot chicks.
Well, if you can, but.
No, I mean, no, you
just
can't.
Just be around it.
You're on Earth, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
You're calling us from Earth? You're not you're not in the Mars colonies already?
But listen, can't you also begin to cultivate sort of other qualities in a relationship than just the appearances? Or is 22, is that impossible?
Listen, no, that's way more important.
All right, there's that.
That's way more important for making a long-term relationship. But for getting your mind off abroad, that means nothing.
The other thing,
I've been doing, though.
But hold on a second.
It
seems to me that part of this longing and unable to get out of the mind, part of what is going on with that is a hidden fantasy that there's a possibility that they'll be reuniting with this girl.
Oh, okay. That's another part I left out. Part of the reason it's on my mind is she just got engaged to this other guy who she left me for.
All right. Does that help close this down? Like there's now no possibility of this ever coming back?
No. I don't know. I don't know. That's part of why it's bugging me so much right now. But
yeah.
Because I literally just found this out yesterday.
Yeah, if it makes you feel any better, they're going to be divorced in 2 years. How old is she?
24.
Oh, they're screwed.
Too young.
Yeah. Listen, dude, it sucks. When you are with someone that you truly care about, it sucks when you break up. What you need to do now is at all costs surround yourself with really appealing women. And again, none of these women may be in the long run, if you get to know them, might be that great. But the best part about it is it doesn't matter for that moment when your boner just takes your mind off of her for 20 minutes. And that 20 minutes will become 2 hours. And that 2 hours will become 2 days. And 2 days eventually becomes 2 weeks. And the next thing you know, you've moved on.
All right.
Join a yoga class. Go to the lake or where you're in Wisconsin. I was going to say, go to the beach. Don't do that in Wisconsin. Go to places where there are typically hot chicks. I mean, go eat instead of shopping at Walmart, go to like a health food store, even if you can't afford it. I'm telling you, there's certain ways to make sure that you surround yourself with hotter chicks, and you just got to do that. Make it a commitment.
All right,
dude. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. I don't worry about going to the supermarket anymore, Dr. Drew, to get razors because DollarShaveClub.com.
That's what I'm talking about.
It doesn't matter which store I go to.
You don't have to be tormented by the plexiglass shield that's holding you back from your
diet. No plexi! Thank you, Drew, for pointing that out. It's crap.
No plexi?
No plexi! You know what I do? I open up my mailbox, bizatch, right there, razors.
No Topher, no plexi?
No! Get your shaving gear where I get mine, DollarShaveClub.com. DollarShaveClub.com delivers amazing razors and grooming supplies for only a couple bucks. Stop overpaying for space-age shave technology.
Don't overpay, biatch.
That nobody needs, bitch. And no plexi! Upgrade to the smarter way to shave. It's DollarShaveClub.com. Eliza Schlesinger, very, very funny woman. She joins us straight ahead here on Loveline.
This is Loveline.
Loveline, we'll be right back.
You ready to get kinky?
This This is Dr. Drew for True Car. Everyone is talking about transparency these days, a word you hear a lot, because people want it. So when it comes to making a big purchase, like perhaps buying a new car, you expect some transparency in the buying process. This is a process that gives you the confidence to know you're getting the fair deal, right? So you can really look at all the details. To understand the power of transparency, you need to check out True Car and True Car's mobile app. True Car not only can configure the car you want and how you want it, but you can see what others actually paid for the same car you're looking for, down to the zip code. So right in your area, you see the very same car. So you know what you can expect to pay for the car you want. Pretty transparent, right? And once you decide on that car, you can lock in guaranteed savings on an average over $3,000 off MSRP. Then you're connected with a trusted True Car certified dealer that will honor your savings without any negotiation, no shenanigans. So when you're ready for a new, transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, and never overpay, download the True Car app today.
Can you read the future?
Nope.
Well, Vox can, and she's ready to spill the beans every week right here at Podcast One.
Wow.
From world news to celebrity happenings, Hollywood royalty Katie Wagner and the world's most accurate psychic, Vox, bring you The Interview. The Interview. Every Wednesday, you'll hear Katie and Vox unravel mysteries. And, of course, they'll take questions from you.
Can I ask an old quick question?
Download new episodes of Interview with Katie and Vox every Wednesday at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.
All right. It's freezing hot. That is the name of the new Netflix comedy special. And the star of said special is Eliza Schlesinger, who joins us right now.
So many applause. Thank you.
At Eliza. Podcast,
Truth and Eliza.
Truth and Eliza is my podcast on iTunes.
Who do you do it with? Just yourself?
It's just me. Yeah. And then I have a guest. And then Aiko, the producer, is in the other room.
Mm. Taking videos or pictures or something.
She's Japanese, so she's going to take all the videos.
Ah, I see. Of course. Everything. Holding a camera. Is that something?
You just had,
she's taking selfies right now.
I see.
You just had, what's his name from Two Broke Girls? Jonathan Kite.
Yes, who is an absolute doll.
Nice he's guy, a good dude. Yeah, he comes on Loveline pretty frequently. He's
yeah,
a good
we
dude.
Just met. He's very funny.
So, what's up? Why? I'm very happy you've joined us, but it seems like this is something that should have happened a long time ago. I agree with that. I have my gum paper over here.
Throw my bio.
It's okay.
I'm a fan of the show, and I used to, because I'm not from Los Angeles, but yeah. I remember driving back when I started my career. I would go out to the weekends for like the Irvine Improv and the Ontario Improv, and you have to drive back very late at night, and Loveline would be on,
yeah.
And that would keep me home.
Where are you from?
I'm from Dallas. Mm. Keep me company on the way back. So I went to school in Boston.
Is it?
Yeah.
Where are you going, Boston?
Went to Emerson.
You did?
I did.
Look at you.
Everybody's so impressed by it.
Well, because it's like a great place to go if you want to be a performer.
Yeah, it's really good for, you probably have some PAs running around here from there. It's a good school. And the whole reason I'm here is because I did Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness.
Yeah.
And I was the only girl.
For those of you listening around the country,
I shut it down. Thank you.
For those of you listening around the country, Kevin and Bean are the morning show here at K-Rock, which is a flagship station. And they're a legendary kind of morning show team.
Now NAB Hall of Famers.
That's right. Dr. Drew and I gave a speech on tape for them to be in the National Association of Broadcasting Hall of Fame.
It's kind of funny.
And that's where I got my start in radio with Kevin and Bean. I was with them for a long time, over a decade. And they have a comedy show, a charity comedy show, and it gathers some of the greatest comics out there, Eliza being one of them this year. And she truly did. She stole the show.
Oh, thank you. Oh, it's the radio.
This is not a podcast.
It's not a podcast. I'm sorry.
Holy mackerel.
But I dug the way she
it was
really
a joke.
Got
I like Brad.
It.
I'm sorry. Please don't find them.
No.
I won't give you
Anderson,
my address.
Anderson, right on top of things.
Sorry.
Growing up in Dallas, where hot chicks are really put at a premium. Like
more Miss Americas out of Texas than any other state.
Yeah, I kind of thought that, but I didn't want to like get too stereotypical. But I knew like Dallas is like a haven for like where girls are celebrated for being pretty, and you're a pretty girl.
Thank you.
Did it make it harder for you to be like, I'm gonna be a stand-up?
No, because I think the older you get, the more of a grip you get on your face and your body and your hair. I wasn't like a hot chick. I definitely wasn't a bridge troll, but I wasn't like the mean cheerleader that I look like. I was the mascot, if anything else. So it wasn't like, oh my God, I'm so hot, I'm in my own way.
I buy that for 17-year-old Eliza Schlesinger, but I think that 31-year-old Eliza Schlesinger is probably way hotter than the mean cheerleader.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying like whatever. Like
she got a grip on it later.
No, but I thought you were saying you got a grip on it. Like you became a realist about how hot you were.
No, I got much hotter.
Okay, all right.
As an adult, you know, you just everything kind of evens out. So I was funny, and that was my thing. I was funny. It wasn't like she's so hot I can't talk to her.
Yeah,
but it was. You know, I had boyfriends. I lost my virginity on prom night like an American.
Did you really?
A weirdo.
That's solid.
Right?
But are you not a big partier, are you?
I do. What define partier, right?
Like you really have to check yourself with drugs and alcohol?
No, I don't have to check myself. Okay. But
that's the mixer.
Yeah.
No, because I feel like someone who, like, I would imagine you being pretty likable growing at all phases of your life. And when people are likable and personable, there is that temptation to be more drawn to social circles that might encourage.
I went to a very competitive college preparatory high school. So as much as everyone, I didn't drink in high school, but like there really wasn't a ton of time for messing around because we all had like 5 hours of homework a night. So it wasn't like a normal school, I guess, in a weird way. That being said, I mean, I didn't get into any of my colleges that I wanted my freshman year. So probably could have partied more and it would have been totally fine. I have this thing called Party Goblin. And your Party Goblin, I'm not sure if you know, Dr. Drew, how the human brain is wired.
Tell me.
There's a cerebellum, there's a cerebral cortex, and then there's a goblin that lives in the back.
Oh, behind the cortex?
Yep, she's behind the cortex.
Cerebellum.
And when you have a certain amount of liquor on a certain night. Yeah, in the vermix. The haunted vermix. On a certain night, your party goblin wakes up, and everyone knows that they've had a night dictated by their party goblin.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and you know what that feeling is like when you wake up in, like, full, like, your muscles have atrophied, and you wake up, and your first thought is, oh, my God, I'm sorry. Like, that's how you know. And I've definitely hung out with party goblin on my fair share of nights. Tonight might be one.
Party goblin's a great way of describing it. I have not succumbed to the evils of party goblin in over, like, 13, 14 years, but when I did, it was a pre-cell phone, which made it way worse.
Less incriminating
evidence.
Because
you just sat in your house going, is anybody going to call me? Is there something in my front yard that I need? Is there a policeman waiting for me somewhere? Like, if you have, what I'm saying is,
got my life.
Now, if you did something that you regretted the night before and you don't remember, you wake up and look at your smartphone, you have 80 texts and video of
it. And then you scroll through, you're like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Who do I, and, oh my God, I told my ex-boyfriend I love you and then I shut the phone off.
Like, in 1999, I didn't find out about my party goblin sometimes for like a week.
Or until someone at the other school told you.
Yeah, you or like just someone somewhere is like, you don't remember driving me home in his car and you crashed and we're like, no, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, that you could go to jail even now for admitting that.
Yeah.
I think there's different degrees of it.
I admitted about this one time.
It's a good thing it's recorded.
I admitted to assaulting a guy, and nothing ever came of that. The weed dealer in Venice.
Maybe it's because you didn't do it?
Doesn't it cancel
you
it out?
You admitted to it?
The guy that I sucker punched. We've talked about it many times.
He's a drug dealer. Doesn't it kind of cancel it out?
He was like a medical marijuana guy that was handing out the cards.
Oh,
you know,
to say,
please come in to Dr. Green Thumbs and get you. Anyway. Right. But I also admitted to the time we found the body. I think I talked. I know I talked about it on Kevin and Bean, but at the time we drove over a dead body in Philly, and we didn't know what to do, and I was scared. And I was not driving. I drove over. All right,
we had to sign up. We use insurance.
We
got to
take some calls. Come on.
Hello, Andy. Thank you for calling Loveline with Eliza Schlesinger joining us.
How you doing?
Hey, buddy! Don't blow us away with that fire hose of energy.
Is this one of the dead bodies?
Hold on 1 second. Has anyone ever smoked more weed than this man?
I can't tell if it's that or just him.
He's paralyzed. He is
from the
weed
because the weed. He didn't. I heard his laugh. A really stoner laugh would have been.
What if he's just what if he's just like a sick porn addict or something? Hello, Andy.
No. So I've been kind of suffering with a masturbation addiction. I'm trying to stop. It's been like 3-4 days, and I've been noticing a lot of fatigueness, and I kind of woke up sick today. The reason why I'm trying to stop that because it's actually affected my sex life, where I would have an erection and it would go away after like 5-10 minutes.
Right.
And I'm not able to finish. It just isn't normal to be fatigued after 3 days of not doing anything, 4 days.
Of not doing anything?
Yeah, not masturbating.
Oh, wait, so you just quit masturbating for 3 days and you feel like that's made you very fatigued?
No, it's like it's been like 3 or 4 days.
Well, that's insane. So
like, and you feel like that's what's made you fatigued, like constitutionally drained you in some way?
I'm tired all day. Like I sleep, you know, 6 to 8 hours a day every day. But I mean, I work today. I was just like,
what do you do for a living?
Yeah,
I'm in sales.
You're in sales.
Yeah.
Okay, that's vague enough. Thank you.
Are you depressed?
No, I'm not depressed. I'm in car sales.
Okay.
Say that. But what is happening?
All right. Two things. We don't have a lot of time here. There's a website you can go to get more information and take some tests to see if you really need something more significant in terms of this masturbation problem. It's called centerforhealthysex.com. Centerforhealthysex.com, number one. Number two, when we evaluate patients for fatigue, the cessation of chronic masturbation is not on the list of differential potential causes.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
That's not a DMTR or whatever.
Can I diagnose it?
Please.
Sure.
You have celiac disease. Next caller.
Next. All right. And gout.
All right.
Well, listen, yeah, Drew brings up a good point. I mean,
if you have
the fact that you're making a point to not beat off for 4 days and you're like flipping out, bad news. The fact that you associate extreme fatigue with it, bad news. So go get that checked out.
Right, have the fatigue evaluated.
One thing I didn't mention, I've been on Cialis for like the past 2 years.
You what?
I've been on Cialis for the past 2 years.
You've been on Cialis?
Yeah, for the past 2 years.
Do you also have peanut butter in your mouth?
No.
Okay.
No.
You gotta pick
is
up.
Is somebody
the pace.
Prescribing that Cialis, or are you getting it off the web?
Oh no, I got it prescribed by a urologist.
Why
are you? How old are you?
I'm 28.
Why do you need Cialis?
Because he's masturbating so much.
That's what it was. I'm thinking, would I be able to go longer and keep a full erection? No.
This is a bad deal, buddy. I'm telling you. I beat off like I've never gone 4 or 5 days without beating off, and I couple that with actual sex with women.
Here's the solution: don't go 4 days without beating off. Just do it. That's clearly what gives you your energy.
But it's what takes his boner away.
Like, why would you need Cialis?
Yes, exactly.
Whatever it is, that you need a much more comprehensive, carefully executed medical examination. Something is not right.
Don't see a doctor at the mall.
Don't just see a urologist. See an internist, and you know, you need a psych evaluation to see if there's some psychiatric component to this, and a medical evaluation to see what is going on.
In defense of that young man.
Go to that Center for Healthy Sex website.
Isn't a urologist kind of like an OBGYN for guys?
Yeah.
I would say, so it's not crazy that he would take a urologist's advice about something with his wiener.
Right. Oh, no, it's not crazy, but the urologist doesn't do comprehensive evaluation. Gotcha. He's just looking at the one thing.
Delivering it as a whole. Very, very Eastern medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Eliza Schlesinger joins us at Eliza Schlesinger on Twitter. On Instagram. On Twitter, it's at Eliza.
They're both just, it's at Eliza.
There's
no Schlesinger. It's Eliza S on Instagram.
Eliza, not Elisa or something.
Yes, that is the website as well. Eliza.com. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Her second stand-up special, now available on Netflix. It is called Freezing Hot. More with her straight ahead here on Loveline.
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 We'll be right back.
Oh, feels so good, doesn't it?
Right.
I feel like mine's not on.
It's on. Oh, believe me.
Why is Stanley shaking?
He's shaking
because
a lot.
He's in the presence of a beautiful and smart woman, and it's intimidating to him as a man.
I have this effect on me.
Yeah. Eliza Schlesinger joins us at Eliza on Twitter, at Eliza S on Instagram. Her new comedy special, her second one for Netflix, is available right now. Eliza Schlesinger, Freezing Hot.
She's freezing hot. That's why she.
Drew,
it's starting to be an insult that this dog won't stop shaking. Like, am I not maternal? Why won't you stop? Why won't you stop shaking?
Well, it is. I'm not to sound like complaining broad, but it is a bit chilly in here.
Yeah,
I just started up.
Yeah. I had two jackets on in the other room.
Yeah, it's chilly.
It was cold.
When you decide to venture out romantically,
Yes.
Do you date comics or no?
I do not.
Yeah. I feel like in all facets of like the entertainment industry, it really is a good idea to date within your line of work because people understand you, except for stand-up.
Except for stand-up because, I mean, I would imagine two actors, it's difficult also because there are egos at play and, you know, someone's got to make the jokes, someone's got to listen to the jokes.
Yeah.
And while it can be symbiotic for a little bit, I think my parents' divorce is testament to the idea that like two funny people eventually will repel off of one another. That being said, I can date someone funny. I don't mind if someone's funny or funnier than me. I found that men have an issue with that more. Not that I think I dated one comic a very long time ago, and that wasn't what ended it. But, yeah, I'm not...
Men comics have a problem. Yeah. I don't know about men.
Men comics definitely do, and I've been in this industry long enough. You know, when you're friends, you can kind of hide it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see the way they act or what they say or how they treat you, and I just... It's not a road I'm willing to go down.
It's a weird world that I have, like, maybe more admiration for people that really make it to stand-ups. It's stand-ups and fighters, people who can make a living fighting. Like, I just have such strange but really deep, passionate admiration for it because it is such a hard road to hoe. But at the same time, it draws weird people. I mean... And I don't mean weird, like, don't leave your kids with them. It's just that there's a weird neuroses that comes with being a stand-up.
Los Angeles is weird enough as it is.
Yeah.
Like, our city culls... the weirdest, most insecure people from all over the world. They're like, come here. Oh, you did a play in the fourth grade. Your mom said you were good. Come here. Make more traffic. And so we've got a city of that already, of egomaniacs
and
already.
Mexicans.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that they were already here, to be fair.
That's true.
And then,
a few of them came up after.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But then you have comics, and you know the ego is so fragile, and because as a comic, there's no such thing as a successful comic who's dumb. So you're already the smartest person in the room, and you've got something to prove, and you are your own team. Like, you are your product. There is no, you know, might have an agent or a manager, but it's just you against the world. There's no ensemble. There's no troupe. There's no dance squad behind you.
That's true.
Unless it's a Cat Williams special. And so it's kind of, you know, you spend so much time being strong and, you know, leading because it's just you as your own boss. It's kind of hard to turn that off.
But don't you feel like, and I'm, again, as an outsider looking in, I do feel like the idea of a team is building nowadays where there's like, because it used to be a really negative environment, a lot of like the local clubs, especially in Los Angeles. But now it's really getting to the point where like you go and you see guys and gals supporting each other at like the Comedy Store, like the Improv. I mean, maybe, yeah,
sure,
maybe
no,
it just
do.
Looks like that.
Look, we all share, you know, a passion for something. We all have friends. There is no, for the most part, like, especially female comics, like, there's no beef between us. You know, there's no, people would love to think that there is, but there isn't. Every once in a while, you get two guys that don't like each other. But the game, I can't believe I just said that, has changed so much that everyone's
it's
so focused on their
own thing. It's way different than it at least was, like 10 years ago,
mid-2000s. In 10 years
ago. You
go
to the Comedy Store, it's fist fights practically breaking
out. Now, I started at all three clubs, really, but the Comedy Store is one of my home clubs.
Uh-huh.
Of the three, it's one of them, and I spent a lot of time there. And there was a very negative vibe around that, mostly because of, and I'm not going to name the names, but one or two guys who absolutely hated themselves and women and were mean.
Mm.
So all the up-and-coming comics were like, oh, that's how the upperclassmen act. I'll crap on everyone.
Right. Mm.
And then slowly but surely, talent kind of prevailed. Those guys don't work anymore because it takes so much energy to be mean. And most people would rather just not do it.
Well, same thing happened in radio. I mean, it really did. Like in the 90s, shock jock, like everyone
I'm sorry. They are alive and well and living in middle America.
I'm sure they are.
I have to
but,
do their shows.
You know, the pukey, like, all right, but that guy's still alive. But I meant that every guy had to be ONA or Stern in like 1998. And like everyone got meaner and everything was like, how shocking can we get?
Yeah.
There was definitely like a reset button where now people can actually have conversations, you know. It's not as
perhaps partially ushered in even by Howard Stern because he's still a good interviewer. Mm. So it's like that gives him the license to be that. I will tell you, as a girl, I never really thought much about, oh, I'm a girl in comedy, big deal. But and I don't do a ton of this anymore, but like morning radio, you walk in, they're like, so what's it like to be hot?
Yeah.
What do you like to bang when you're on a date? And you're like, I got up an hour early to put on makeup so you wouldn't say I was ugly. And we're not going to talk about my weekend here. We're just going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Or my body. Not that you didn't do that before I walked in, but still. It happens. And you're just like, you just feel so defeated. You're like, for all my accomplishments, all you want to talk about is like who I blow. Give me a break.
But I could totally see where you're coming
from.
And
they die.
That makes it's a very good point. But in a strange way, like, It's 100% real. Like the way I looked at your body at pictures before you came in, it's 100% authentic. You know, so I feel for you in the sense that like every boner idiot's going to be making like the conversation has to be directed towards how you look. But in their defense, like, they're fighting their genetics. Like that.
Totally. The genetics are working against them. It wouldn't bother me, I think, for the most part, if there were something else following up with that. But,
sure.
Like, you get on, first thing, you dating anyone? I'm like, what does that got to do with the price of tea in China? I got to sell tickets to the Improv this weekend.
Do you know the price of tea in China?
It's like $10 for a box.
That's
don't
a,
have
that's
dollars.
A
Hong Kong
massive
dollars.
Box.
It's a big box.
That's what she said.
Hello, Ross.
Back to that again.
Whisper.
Ross?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
How are you, Ross?
Doing good.
What's going on?
I'm not too good.
Oh, okay. What could we do for you?
I have a question, man. I mean, it's me and my wife have been married for about 4 years now. We have a 2.5-year-old.
Nice.
Does not go to bed for the life of me.
Now, she won't go to, he or she won't go to bed, period, or like won't go to bed in her own bed?
She won't, well, two things. She won't go to bed until we're asleep.
Okay.
She won't go to bed in her bed. And me and my lady can't, you know, have sex anymore.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of comes with it.
Where does she sleep?
She has her own room. But in the middle of the night, she'll come out and she'll come right in between us with her tablet, with whatever toy she can find. And
she's 2.5? She got a tablet?
Over. Yeah, I'm impressed.
There's already trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, the kids are born with tablets now.
Is she checking?
No,
is she checking
not.
Into her Tinder account from bed?
No.
Just a little. No. Just watch this little porn to put her to sleep.
They just watch you. She just watches YouTube videos, Mickey Mouse, whatever.
Okay, right. Here's the deal: no tablets at your bedtime. Number one.
I got you.
Number two, she goes to bed by herself, right?
We put her in her bed.
Mm-hmm.
She actually pretends to lay down and goes to sleep, and then in the middle of the night she'll get up, and before the tablet's not the issue, it's just that she comes into the room and she pretends like everybody's awake. She pretends like everybody's you know, and then before you know it, that's it, the show's over.
What?
Yeah,
I'm having trouble tracking him too.
Here's what you do. You lock the kid in the room, you give her some food and water, you say you're coming out at 7 a.m. I think you let her come out too
like
much.
Sharon Stone in Casino, just to tie her up.
I have a really good friend. His name is Mingo. He told me the exact same.
His name is Mango.
Lock her in the room.
Great.
My friend Mingo. Yeah.
I'm glad me and
that's
Mingo.
Not good. That's not real advice.
Don't really do
Ross.
That to your child. But you lock. You know what? Lock yourselves in your room, and she can cry all she wants, but she can't come in.
I got to tell you, dude. There's people who devote their entire career to helping parents.
You have to take this dog.
Sleep, you know, like so that you might have to invest some time and effort into really doing what's best psychologically for your child. It's a whole thing, man. I just had a kid and
I'm not trying to sleep, though. I'm not trying to sleep.
I understand.
Eventually, I fall asleep, but I'm not trying to sleep.
Okay, Ross, we get it. My point being is that getting your child to learn how to sleep in their own room.
Wait, what happened to my advice?
It's a real process.
Lock your door. The kid will cry itself to sleep.
I think, Drew, he's trying to say, how do we hump?
And right. I don't understand why. First of all, every parent has to deal with that.
Yes. Yeah.
Shower is where a lot of people find
good
a little time.
Just lay down right in the shower.
Number two.
I say Warner Brothers. It's worked for me. Warner Brothers, you know, my wife's dressing room. Everyone should be able to have that.
Number two, you can hire a babysitter once in a while.
No, he's right. Or get cast on a network show. That's easy to do.
Easy. Number three, it sounds like you do have time after she goes to sleep before she comes back in the room. And by the way, I'm not sure whose house is this. Is your house or is this her house?
Boom, bitch!
You know, the child does not run the household. And if the child does run the household, this is going to be a problem.
Yes,
can
Ms.
I give
Lester.
You a suggestion? Why don't you let her see what created her? That'll scar
she'll
her.
Never
she'll
want
never
to be
want
back
to come back
in.
Let her get a taste of how gross you look when you're bareback in your wife.
And your wife's pendulous breasts and your saggy balls.
Yeah. And the kid will grow up to be a comic.
That's not a bad idea.
What's the story?
It's terrible. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Eliza Schlesinger joins us later tonight during the open forum. We want to know worst sex advice you ever got.
The dog stopped shaking.
It's Love Line.
She did.
It brings you beautiful love, and it'll drive your mind through 1,000 terror-filled moments.
More Love Lines still to come.
Yeah, Film Vault. The Film Vault.
Summer Films 2015 edition, Brian. It's here.
One of our biggest episodes of the year.
One of our best.
You'll find out about movies that are coming out. Oh, everyone knows about the big movies, the action movies. We'll talk about those, but some also ones you maybe probably haven't heard of yet, but you will be hearing about.
We painstakingly went through 129 titles that are coming out this summer, and we culled the best that are worthy to talk about.
So check it out this week on The Film Vault on Podcast One.
That's O-N-E.
about it. Eliza Schlesinger joins us at Eliza S on Instagram and at Eliza. That's I-L-I-Z-A on Twitter. That's also her website, Eliza.com. She wants sex questions. We will get to one that I think that she is really qualified to answer. Hello, Jake.
Hi.
What's up, man?
How's it going? Not much. Long-time listener, actually second-time caller.
Thanks, so, dude.
Love you guys. My question is, my girlfriend, or actually I should unfortunately say my ex-girlfriend, but still curious about the question. She doesn't like foreplay, like, at all. And she's just kind of like a cuddler, and she just kind of wants more of, like, the hugging position and getting penetration. And
wait, hold a second. Maybe we better define what you're talking about when you say foreplay.
Anderson's eating butt food again.
Like, what is that? I know, it's terrible.
It smells bad. Sir.
Anything aside from, like, kissing. Like, she doesn't like any nipple play, or pretty much she, like, if I go for... Like,
I'm not the only one who says it. You act like I just said butt food. Drew says it smells bad, and she says it smells terrible.
It's salad from Wahoo's.
Is it poo salad?
No, it's chicken. They don't have poo on the menu.
How old are you?
23.
How old is she?
She's younger, 19.
She just has no idea.
Yeah.
That's all it comes down to. Somebody did something weird once. Some guy tried something. He bit her nipple, and now she's afraid to ask for what she wants. I'm only saying that because I'm getting to an age now where I can ask for what I want. She's afraid to ask for what she wants. It's not about... You need to have a little bit of foreplay.
What does a woman think when she's feeling fearful about asking? Because guys really want women to ask.
You feel like you're going to be judged. You feel like you're going to be told either what you want is weird, or, like, you don't want to ask because you want him to just know.
Which is
insane.
It's insane, yeah.
But we want that. We want you to know where we want to eat. We want you to know what you're going to tell us about how we look. We want you to know, which isn't in of itself insane, but we don't realize that till later. So it isn't that she doesn't like it. She's uncomfortable with it because she's 19. And that's all it comes down to. Now, you're not going to force it on her. And
but you're also not going to change it.
I also don't know any man that's like, please, can we do foreplay?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
She'll figure it out.
It just kind of gets to be annoying when it's... Like,
hey, well, you started off the call by saying, now your ex-girlfriend, so don't sweat it.
Yeah.
Not annoying anymore.
Here's the thing. You're 23. Don't date a 19-year-old.
Yeah. Agreed.
Fair enough.
All right. Find, like, a 42-year-old.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah, that, like I did. It changed my whole life.
I know.
Let's see. Eliza. Let's see.
Eliza, Eliza 6.
Yeah, it's Dennis.
Yeah. Hey, how
hello.
You doing?
You have a question for Ms. Schlesinger.
Yes, at first I'd like to say hi, Drew, and hi, Mike. I've been listening to you guys since the Ricky Rackman days.
Oh, I know. Back in the day, like Eliza's friend, like 900
Hello,
years.
Hi. Oh, my friend.
Jordan.
Right. Watch the show.
I worked the second shift, and every time I got home, I would always record that dating show that you were hostess of.
Excused, yes, the host.
I love that show. I forgot the name of it. I was drawing a blank.
You love it.
The screener was trying to, you know, ask me what the name of the show was.
I like that Lindsay's probing you.
Yeah. It's the only show I hosted, so excuse.
Yeah, but what was the name of it? What was the name of it?
It was called Redirected.
But I just
Redacted.
You host it. I love watching you.
A long time, too, by the way.
That show. But my question to you is, are you going to do any more like little hosting of like the dating shows, any new dating shows?
All right, we got the point of the question.
That will be, we did 230 episodes of that. That
Damn.
Show is done.
Damn.
When a show is done, it rarely comes back unless it's on some sort of non-linear platform, like if a Hulu buys up all the extra episodes. No to that. I might be doing a show this summer, but I couldn't tell you about it yet because I haven't said yes.
Ooh, nice.
So,
but listen, 230 episodes, no joke.
Yeah.
Nobody realizes it's the most episodes ever. We did so many. It was one a day.
No, like, listen, if a network show gets 100, they throw massive block parties.
Sure.
A 230 is insane.
When a CBS syndicated show, you're lucky if you get air conditioning in the house in Encino where you're shooting it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's craziness.
No glory.
Good for you.
Just Dennis from afar loving it.
So I just proved how doltish and misattuned men are. I just made a crazy sound with a paper that almost made Eliza jump out of her skin.
Well, yeah,
that's just my own pet peeve.
I know, but if I were an all-knowing male, I should have known that.
Right.
No, Drew,
how dare you not know?
Drew is exceptionally fidgety and
it's when people
noise making
fold it. And then they run their fingers along the side. Yeah. I could throw up.
But how crazy is I picked the one thing that makes her vomit?
Just one.
It just did it very
And because you're a doctor, I felt okay in telling you that, and I'd have to explain it. You're like, okay.
Sure. Stop.
Just,
no problem.
Just one more time throughout this show.
Don't do it, because I'll kick that involuntarily.
That is not me.
I just
you can do it.
I heard like that. That was
that was pretty good.
Legitimate.
Make some of those noise. Your kid, your 2-year-old won't come in the room. 1-800.
Incorporate that into your new special, though.
Oh, those noises are there.
Hello, John. Thank you for calling Loveline. Eliza Schlesinger, our guest.
Thanks, John.
John.
Go away, John.
John.
I think they hang on.
Did he pass away?
Yeah. Done. Oh.
Sorry. I had a quick question. All right. Quick backstory. Me and my wife have been married for about 11 years.
Time out.
Let's talk about quick
Did
question.
Anyone, like, what happened to tonight's show where everyone cannot enunciate?
Also, why is everyone's question like, I'm married and now something boring's happening? Where's, like, all the weird all right, stuff?
Oh, this go. Is pretty okay. good. This okay. is pretty good. All right. John, open up the mouth.
No, no, no. Go to line 6.
No,
please.
I can't. We already started with John.
No, go to line 6. What is it?
Go to line 6.
Jesus Christ.
It's a good one.
John, stay
It's
married.
Not weird, but it's a good, it's a good.
John was just getting to sex stuff.
Stop it.
Hello, Gabriel.
My wife.
Hello, am I on?
Yes.
Hey, sorry, I'm driving. Let me pull over.
Great job, right, Drew.
Wow. It's responsible.
You guys live.
You live.
You live.
You live. You live.
Dr. Drew, yes, Psycho Mike, huge fan. I listen to your guys' podcast every day, religiously. I never miss anything. You guys live.
You live. What's going on?
A couple of years ago, I was having problems with my uncircumcised penis, and I gave you guys a call, and you said, you know, to get it fixed, get a circumcision. I wanted to give you guys a call, let you know that I got it done. Best decision that I ever made.
Yay! See? Welcome to a first world country. You're not super gross anymore, and Jews will accept you.
It sucks being half Mexican, so... You know,
Well, I'm just fine being half Mexican.
And he
with
gave
no
his foreskin up long ago.
Yeah, at birth.
Well, that's awesome. But you know, thank you.
I'm
for
also whitewashed, but
you guys live, and I just want to thank you for your time.
No, see? I didn't.
Thanks, Gabriel.
Hang up your penis jacket for
hey,
life.
Hey, just for the rest of the guys out there who are contemplating, because we do take that call quite often.
Yeah, how was the procedure?
How bad was it for the couple weeks after?
Actually, it was only bad for about 2 weeks. The first week was brutal because you had the stitches.
Yeah.
And it was really gross looking at it. So keep it wrapped up, keep it clean, but the pain is worth the destruction that follows.
There you go.
All right.
Way to go, Gabriel. Thanks.
Gabriel's a good man.
True. Yeah. All right.
See? Glad you took that.
Yeah.
It's time for our open forum. A very short break. 30-second break. We have the guest, Eliza Schlesinger, joining us this evening. Her new Netflix special is called Freezing Cold Hell.
Freezing Hot.
Freezing Hot. That's right. And available right now on Netflix.
This is great.
And we want to know the worst sex advice you were ever given. Ooh. That is our open forum this evening on Loveline.
Time for you to give us your opinions and insight. Here's tonight's open forum.
Yes?
I can tell you that 1 year, we're Jewish, but we did like a white elephant Christmas gift thing, whatever Goyim do, and my aunt brought, like, you know, everybody brings a gift and you exchange them. And my aunt brought from Brookstone, which I don't think is a company anymore, a personal massager. And it was shaped like a dildo. But of course, on the cover, the woman's like holding it to her neck.
Yeah.
And everyone, she was the only one that didn't know what it was. No one wants it, at least not openly. She's like, what? It's a personal massager. And like my one Catholic friend that came, she ended up with it, which I thought was funny. But
good for her.
What? Good job, Aunt Cynthia.
And why would you just you were ashamed to take it in front of your parents?
Because
I'm sure you probably want.
I don't believe in dildos.
Why?
Don't believe in them.
I don't believe in them for me. I don't care if someone else is using them. And here's why. I think that a vibrating dildo is a sensation that no man can physically replicate. So I believe you are setting yourself up for failure. And I refuse to do that. That's how I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. You're not going to find someone gigantic that also, you know, has like 800 RPMs.
No, you're right.
Unless you're FN
and I mean, we certainly talk to our fair share of girls on this show who feel like they've desensitized their vagina.
Yeah. Never bought one, never owned one. The culture of like giving these out, and it's just like this big joke. Like, I think my sexuality is something that is somewhat prized. It's not something that I'm like super gross about and very open with. And just buying one of those things, I just, you're setting yourself up for failure. Sex is already so disappointing for the most part for women. Yeah. Why make it worse?
Wow.
I'm just saying, in general, I think guys, you have sex, you're going to get off. Chances of a woman.
We are going to take terrible sex advice right now. That is our open forum topic.
Okay.
Have you ever been given, Eliza Schlesinger, terrible sex advice?
Probably.
Can you think of it?
I'm trying to think of it. I'm pretty mouthy, so I'm usually the one giving the advice.
I was going
to
say, I've never really gotten terrible sex advice. I mean, I have, but I've never even gotten useful sex advice aside from use a condom.
Porn is bad sex advice.
That's not a bad point.
Wow. I'm looking at some of the stuff that's coming. People, is this Mexican myth?
You know
again?
What it's going to be. It's going to be my people.
It's looking like that.
My abuelita told me to soak my vagina, my panocha.
My
she told me soak my panocha in witch hazel and
we
avocado.
We actually got Rudy in here.
Oh, he'll come. Hello, Kathleen.
Hello.
Is this good, Kathleen?
Yes, it is.
Kathleen.
Wait, hold on, Drew. Yeah. Hold on, Kathleen.
Eliza, meet Kathleen.
Drew, hi. Go ahead.
Kathleen began calling us, about 3 weeks ago, would you say?
Exactly a month ago today.
Happy anniversary. And she is a professional woman, or had been at one time. And she would do odd things, behaviors.
Okay.
And she had an exotic array of customers, including a guy that wanted to have her excrement drop directly into his mouth, which she refused to do. But
he could get sick.
Begged her to please put it in some Tupperware, which she dutifully complied.
So that he could save it for later.
We had to bring it to work.
Keep his refrigerator.
Which is
the
what
work
Anderson
refrigerator.
Did, apparently, with his salad.
Okay.
And so Kathleen has regaled us many, many stories since. We were impressed by that first story.
Yeah. All right, Kathleen, what is terrible sex advice that you got?
Well, when I was young, my friend's sister told my friend and I that if you have unprotected sex with a guy, you could stand on your head and not get pregnant.
Yeah. Stand on your head.
Yeah.
It's going to go farther in.
Yes.
And then she also said if you stick a garden hose up there and turn it full blast, you won't get pregnant either.
That's actually probably not wrong.
So you sandblast the jizz out?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's not a good idea. Wow. Well, I'm glad you called. We told you, you're always welcome to call the show.
Actually, Kathleen needs to come in here someday and really just...
Yeah, can we line you up as a guest?
Yes, I would love to. I tried to send you guys a picture. I tried to tweet you a picture because I thought you might want to put the face with the name.
Yeah, we do.
You know?
We definitely
do. I'll send you a tweet tonight.
Okay. Right, thank you, Kathleen. I love you.
Okay.
Stay on hold and we'll get your information because I think Drew needs you on TV as well.
Possibly.
No, possibly. I think HLN is ready for Kathleen. And then I got the Tupperware and I crapped in it.
These are relatable subjects.
Sure. I agree.
Oh my God.
Eliza Schlesinger, our guest. Hello, Alex.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
I think you got great advice, but go ahead.
All right. Well, a little bit of backstory. I went to trade school, so I got this advice from a guy on my crew. Big, burly dude. That should have been my first idea that something was wrong, but he told me that the best thing that you can do during sex is to lick your partner's butthole. And, I put that in my pocket. It went maybe 2 months, and then me and my girlfriend at the time were having sort of a dry spell and doing the same thing. And I was like, you know what? Might as well try it out. So in the middle of oral, I turned her over, and I started, pleasuring her butt. And I thought, oh, this is pretty great. And she made no sort of sound for the entire thing. And eventually when we finished up, she didn't even mention that it had happened. I said goodnight, went home, and was like...
You went home? You didn't stay over?
That was the worst advice ever. I ruined everything.
Well, listen, no, it's not the worst advice. I'm a big fan.
I agree with you. Actually, there's a little bit more.
Okay.
She went back to school, and about 2 days later, late at night, she texted me, and she was like, Alex, I can't stop thinking about you. I had no idea that you were that willing to participate in that. And I was so taken aback. I was like, this man's a genius. And lo and behold, the next time we got together and had a sexual intercourse, she was like, can you play with my butt? And that opened up a whole new thing with us. And I thought it was going to be the worst advice, and it turned out to be probably the best thing I've ever got.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I don't... That's good, all right. It's not really in the theme.
I think, listen, I'm a big fan of providing that service. Hold on.
I know it's something you're enthusiastic about.
But just that. Wait. I'm a big fan of providing that. But if you provide that service to a girl or a gentleman who doesn't want it, it's not going to work out well at all.
You could tell she wanted. She didn't say anything. And I know that sounds like she was asking for it. If she didn't say anything, she was probably just like a little nervous. But yeah. If you don't like it, you'll have them stop.
Yeah, you will get that out of.
The dude that gave you that advice, super gay. Like, it's a big bear that's like, I like my butthole pleasured because that's where everything happens. Like, that wasn't.
Are you saying that I have gay tendencies because I provide.
No, you, the guy in the story.
No, okay. Mike digs it too, though, see.
I think all guys would like that. I think that's a, I don't know.
I'm. Hello, Ludwig?
Yes, this is Ludwig here.
First off, love your work in the drum set category. What
love your arias.
all right, Ludwig, tell us your bad sex advice.
So it was very similar to the last guy, Alex. There.
That's why I was a little shocked, yeah.
I'm the burly
guy. One of my closest friends told me that girls love it when you lick their asshole. So I was in a similar situation as him, and I went down on her and started going after tossing the salad, and she actually farted in my face.
Oh my God!
So it did not work out as
fart humor makes Liza happy. It's good, Mike.
It's the universal language of comedy.
But it was really awesome.
Did you keep going?
That. Like I got literally got sick from it.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You threw up right there?
Yeah, well, I didn't throw up on her, but I went to the bathroom and Millie started throwing up, and I was sick for like a week after that.
Dude, I don't blame you. I would be so mentally scarred if someone farted in my mouth.
Yeah, and I, like, it honestly ruined our relationship.
What are you doing later?
It completely destroyed our relationship, and now everything's really awkward between us. Like, we have, like, stopped talking, and I don't know what to do. And I thought it was the right
If you stop talking, then
just move on.
Yeah, there's nothing to do.
There's a thousand fish that'll fart in your mouth out there in the sea. You don't need this one.
Oh, mark that tape, Anderson. We need to replay that forever.
I don't have any bad sex advice, but I can tell you one weird thing that happened.
Oh, please.
Uh-oh. I broke it. I went out with someone. We never had sex. We only went out like a couple times, but we had gone out enough times and we hadn't done anything. And so at one point I was like, we should probably take this to some sort of level just to see if we're compatible. And I can't believe I'm sharing the story, but
I'm so happy you are.
Love line.
It's love line. So I was like, all right, I'll kick things off. So I'm kissing him and he's like, you know, I was going to go down on him. Only wanted me to lick his balls. That's it. Only wanted that straight guy by it, because everyone's like, we must be gay. Only wanted that. So I'm like, okay, I could do that for a minute. Maybe that's whatever.
How do you communicate that in the middle of?
He was just, lick my balls. So I was like, okay, we're doing it. But this is the way. I can only show this to you because I can't even explain it.
I can't wait.
This is great for radio. He put his legs, like if a girl was going down on you, you'd probably lay down. You just lay flat, right? Or maybe you're sitting in a chair, but you're laying down. He put his legs up. Imagine if you were in a gynecological in like stirrups.
Oh, like changing a baby's diaper.
Yes. These were his legs, like this. Just like. That was
what?
It. I immediately stopped. And I was like, I'm going to go to bed. And that was it.
Was but he in bed lying?
We were in
back?
Bed and he had his legs like back.
Oh my God.
And it was, and I told everyone I knew. And it was the weirdest thing ever. And I was never romantically involved with him again.
That is weird.
I'm not sticking around for some weird stuff. If you're like pleasuring yourself and I have nothing to do with it. Why are your legs up like that? To me, that was like, you masturbate a lot. That's the pose you take when you're masturbating. You don't know that a girl doesn't find this attractive.
Well, that's
you're missing
the thing.
A chromosome.
Is that like, you may like that? I'm not going to, you know, all right, you're into that.
With
I get
him.
It.
He's into that.
Right, but the fact that he doesn't have the wherewithal to know that that's gross
yes.
to like, right. go right, right there.
As a girl, I've already like shaved everything. I'm going out of my way to make elegant noises when I'm having sex, and you don't have the wherewithal not to have ape legs.
That
name
is baby diaper changing legs.
Like a chicken.
Oh.
Like a so anyways, that's one of mine stories.
That's my because I'm just imagining because like there's something about
welcome back to Hitline.
Yeah, there's only something about like a guy's taint that's like the worst, you know, because like all of guys are gross. It Even like a beautiful guy's gross,
but his taint's bad.
Like something about the taint is just like it's just pure evil. And I was imagining like him exposing it to poor Eliza. Like,
to be fair, it was dark, so I didn't allow it to go on that long. So I was never like face to taint. But just to me, if you do that, I'm a big advocate for social indicators. It's indicative of other weird things you're going to do.
Yeah, right.
So I don't want to see what.
But,
else.
But again, just the lack of judgment.
Yes,
well, and listen. Like, if I go home and do that to my wife now,
It's a joke.
After I've already watched. No, I'm just saying, like, if that's what I'm into, let's say.
Yeah.
And I go, hey, Bianca, I just go ahead and lick the taint. Here we go. And go hit that pose. That's one level. But we've been married, and I've watched a baby come out of her vagina. You know what I'm saying? Like,
this is the first time we were intimate.
Like, yeah, the first time ever. He's like, oh, lick my ball, by the way.
We had some vegan chocolate cake, and this is what happened. And so we didn't take it past that.
Vegan chocolate cake and little balls taint.
Incidentally, the vegan chocolate cake was the worst part of the evening.
Oh, man, that's a bad evening.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Eliza Schlesinger is lighting the show on fire right now, talking about
Light taint. Those face farts on fire.
And she has now deemed this show lying. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Her new comedy special available. And she hit a You Live Perfectly.
I was told by Jordan to say it.
Oh, good.
Go I know about it.
Go to Eliza.com to find out when she's coming to your town on the Freezing Hot Tour. And then remember, Freezing Hot available on Netflix right now, whenever you want it. It's at your demand. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. The worst sex advice you were ever given are open for them right now on Loveline.
More Loveline still to come.
Loveline?
1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, have you heard the Shaquille O'Neal podcast, huh? Well, that's probably because there isn't one. Yet.
But listen up, here's a handy hint.
Keep checking podcast1.com for all our new upcoming shows. Because you never know who we'll be shacking up with.
This is Shaquille O'Neal, a.k.a. the greatest athlete ever formed. Look it up. Google it.
Yeah, I went there.
My favorite clips are the ones where people bust their ass.
That's podcastone.com.
Fits you, fits me, fits everybody.
Oh, 1-800-LOVE-191's the number. Eliza Schlesinger is our guest, and remember, not only can you see her new comedy special on Netflix whenever you'd like, it is called Freezing Hot. There's also a Freezing Hot tour, and I'm looking at the dates and the cities right now on Eliza.com, and she's coming all over the place. Wow. Let me rephrase that. She is going
everywhere.
To be visiting all the areas that Loveline reaches, so make sure you go to Eliza.com and find out when she's coming to your town.
Yeah.
We are talking about the worst sex advice you've ever been given, and we've had some humdingers. We have had some humdingers. Let's get to Rico. Hello, Rico. I love your statute.
Hey. Oh, hey. I'm doing pretty good, thanks. Oh, my... The worst advice I ever got was when I was like in junior high school, we were told that to eat a girl, what it tasted like was a lemon. So I would get lemons, cut them in half, and shape them like it, like a vagina.
Wait. You'd cut lemons into the shape of a vagina to practice?
Yes, I would do that a lot.
Okay.
A lot?
Yeah, I would do that a lot. My mom came in one time and she asked me what I was doing. I said, well, I just like lemons.
No, you should have been like, well, when life gives you lemons, you go down on them.
When life gives you lemons, you make vagina.
Yeah, that's what I did.
wait a second. Yeah. That's not that
Were you disappointed or relieved to find that vaginas don't taste like lemons?
Yes, I was relieved.
Okay.
Well, but in fairness, there is a lemony tinge.
Should it be?
Well, I mean, there is, like,
it can be tang, but it's not lemon.
Yeah. Like a fresh lemon, you're right, is a little, it's a little bit
like space
much.
Food tang. Like it should be orangey. He's saying it should be orange.
Yeah. I'm trying to find out what Rudy advice.
Oh, we just get Rudy.
That's
here.
All right.
Hey, Rudy, come here. Hey, Rudy, what's happening, man?
Hey, what's up, dog?
Hey, meet Eliza Schlesinger.
Hey, what's up, Hina?
Hi, Rudy.
Man, you're pretty fly.
Rudy,
I like that jacket.
Gracias. Please don't take my jacket.
No. I mean, it would probably fit my wife, but whatever, Stug.
Boy, Sad Girl has lost a lot of weight.
143 pounds.
No
that's
kidding.
Right, fool. You know, like everybody comes up to her at work. They're like, hey, what's up, Sad Girl? Like, is it a lap band or whatever? And they're like, no.
What does she say? Does she know why?
No, she doesn't. She's like,
tell Eliza
Rudy,
why.
Rudy keeps making me horchata, and then I just keep losing weight. You know,
he puts meth in
slim fast or whatever. So, like, no, because my wife, you know, I love her, but, like, you know, for real, though. Like, I mean, I see, like, hyenas all over the world where I'm like, oh, you know, little Rudy, my pants gets crazy. My dickies start to fit all weird. But, like, I don't ever want to cheat on my wife because I love her so much, and she stuck, you know, stuck with me through thick and thin.
He used to have sex when you went to jail.
He was in prison for quite a while.
15 years this last.
And he had to have sex with men in there, so she.
I didn't like have to. I mean, well, you know, I did have to, but like, I mean, like, you know, I learned.
There was
to like
one
it.
Guy in particular.
Anyway, like,
what was that?
But like,
Trout?
I'm gonna go ahead and just try to tell my stories without you interrupting.
Yeah, go ahead.
So like, my wife, you know, like, I love her, but I wanted her to look a little better, like, you know, how I remembered her before jail, you know, like in high school. But I didn't want to, like, hurt her feelings and tell her, like, you know, she's getting fat or whatever. And she got, like, a fupa, you know? So, like, so I just started putting, like, some scrante, some meth in her food. And, like, she lost crazy weight. She looks all thin and pretty. But she lost 4 teeth and she cut her leg off. Because she...
She was not diabetes?
No, she thought there were bugs in her legs. I didn't even, like, she didn't even ask me about it or nothing. I just woke up and the bed was crazy bloody. And I thought, like,
from the Godfather,
like, damn, dog.
Majority of the weight was probably lost because the leg is gone.
That's only 18 pounds, though. You know what I'm saying?
It's 40 pounds a leg. Yeah.
It's a big leg.
Yeah. 40 pounds? Yeah, what probably. If you have, like, a little femur?
Little femur? Is that your, that's like your gangster name? Little femur?
No, that's my cousin, dog. Little femur? He's like, he lives with the Creeper and Cricket. You know, he's a down as vato. Anyway, like, bad sex advice I've been told one time.
Oh, yeah.
No, like, after, you know, you were getting to my cellmate, Trucha, you know, he blasted my culo, he blasted my butt hard, you know, and like, it got all like gnarled, you know, like, and nasty.
Yeah.
And he's
did you get like warts back there and stuff too?
No warts, dog. Just the pink sock, you know, just like
the prolapse.
That's right, fool. You know, and then I decorated it. I put like Dia de los Muertos face on it, you know, for whatever.
Oh, like a tattoo?
That's right, fool.
Oh. So tattooed then, like, your rectum? Your prolapse? Rectum?
My whole body's covered, like, you know.
It looks scary, though. No? Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah, it's like a skeleton butthole.
I think then, just like, a butthole falling out of your body is pretty scary. No, you have to dazzle it.
It took some getting used to. I'm not going to lie. You know, like every once in a while, I, you know, before I get in the shower, I spread my cheeks and I look in the back. You know, if I have my pajamas on or whatever, like, I'll be like, hey, I'm going to check on my
it's
butthole.
Like your gang flag.
And then I look and it was like, it looked like, I used to tell Dr. Drew it looked like a prawn. You know, like it was.
It's odd that you would use prawn. That's so worldly.
Thanks. You know, I felt like, you know, it's what it
Rudy's
looked like.
Been trying to rehabilitate since
I'm going to try to live a straight life.
He
you has, know
he's working.
Like a prawn.
And then my butthole, like now, since it got all puffy and like started getting all gnarled, I made it into like a Dia de los Muertos skeleton. And then, but my balls is a Raider helmet. You know, and I feel like that was like really like authentic. You know what I'm saying? But the worst sex advice I ever got, like after my butthole got blasted, Trucha told me, he's like, hey, don't worry about though. It'll go back to normal. You just gotta put like 1 tablespoon mayonnaise with that canola. It has to be canola. 1 tablespoon mayonnaise, 2 horsehairs.
Mm-hmm.
And rubbing alcohol and you by 3 tablespoons and you mix it and then you have to do like the suction of the put it in a shot glass and you suction your whole butthole in there like like Kylie Jenner's lips, you know, you gotta put it and I did it and just made it worse.
I noticed the way we did that imitation of Trucha, it had a little sort of affection in your voice. Do you still
miss
feel
him?
I told you, dog, like, I mean, at the time, you know, it really hurt physically and emotionally for him to rape me, you know, and I don't want to make light of rape, but I got Stockholm butthole. You know, like Stockholm syndrome?
Yeah, I know it's Stockholm syndrome.
I got Stockholm butthole.
All right, well, thanks,
buddy. I just want to say, like, Eliza, I checked out your most recent special, dog, and, like, Freezing Hot was crazy funny, and you're super talented, and I just want to, like, say, keep your head up, you know, keep plugging away, Haina.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, I'm out.
All right, take care, buddy. See you, man.
That was really, like, I got to say.
He was a little heartfelt tonight.
Well, like,
he wasn't
it was awfully sweet to Eliza, considering how much I know he physically is a fan of her. Like, I'm surprised he didn't, you know, he didn't say really anything.
I think we respect each other because we both killed people.
That's probably
true.
To
be fair, though, you got to be careful when you're leaving tonight. That's all I'm saying.
But to be fair, okay, I'll be careful. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Hello, Miguel.
Hey, what's up, you guys?
How are you?
Good. Drew, huge fan since I was like 6th grade. Mike, same. Love listening to you guys every night.
Girl, thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. So when I was in 5th grade going into middle school, I was hanging out with my cousins and his buddy goes, you know, here's a tip if you're having sex with a girl. If after it doesn't burn, you're not doing it right.
What?
Wow.
which was terrible advice, and I'm glad I didn't take heart to anything of what he said.
That is truly terrible advice. Like, yeah. That's really bad.
Do it until it burns.
A year later, we found out that he had the clap.
Oh!
How old was he?
He was 24, I believe.
Wow.
And by the way, what are you, Peter Fonda?
Yeah, I was saying, was it in Vietnam? Was that, what,
do you also smoke grass?
I have no idea, but that was the worst advice that was ever given.
But what does the clap even mean now when someone says that? What is that?
Oh, chlamydia.
Chlamydia. That was never what it meant back in the day.
Really?
It meant, it meant gonorrhea.
Oh, I never knew that.
Back when I was in Nam, that's what it meant. Yeah.
Well, that was the worst advice I've gotten. Thank you, guys.
Wow.
All right.
That's terrible. It's truly terrible.
I have another story.
Please. Oh, yeah. Please. Okay. Please.
One time, there was this guy that I eventually dated. And it was like the first time two things happened. One, the first time we had sex, he was so excited that we were having sex. It was one of those things where he liked me for a while, and I was like, okay, we were having sex, and it was from behind. And right as he was about to get off, he went to go take off the condom so he could, like, whatever. Go
so he could see the fruits of his labor?
Who knows? But he ripped it off so hard that it ended up hitting him in the face, and all of his gunk went into his own face. Yeah. And I laughed because, like, that's...
It's funny.
Yeah, and it's terrible, and...
No, it's awesome. And it's not terrible. It's amazing.
So that was amazing. And he was, because he was a sociopath, like, unfazed. He's like, it's fine. No big deal. I'm like, it's a really big deal. I'm going to talk about this for years to come. But to make matters even worse, later, so we're drunk and we're, like, fooling around. And I was so drunk. And every girl has that guy that she's hooked up with where you're like, oh, he's probably so happy that we're doing this. No. And unprecedented by anything else I've ever done in my sexual life, he was laying there in the bed, and I was like, check this out. And I just sat on his face. I just sat on it, and like a champ, he took it. I can't imagine. I didn't put full weight. But like, that's not fun for anyone to just be like, lights out, and you just sit on them.
No, it kind of is.
That's fine.
Okay. Okay. The next, and then we, you know, we're drunk, and we pass out. We go to bed. The next day, we're walking to get brunch. And he was like, remember last night when you sat on my face? And I had forgotten because party goblin took over. And I took a knee. Like, I crumbled to the ground. And I couldn't. We still had lunch. I couldn't look at him. Because that's like animal behavior.
Yeah.
And I did that. I did that to someone.
But just rest assured.
Hey, Celestia, take a knee.
I took a knee. Coach.
Rest assured that everything you do as an attractive woman, like, in the eyes of a man, it's like, it's it just gets washed
away. Sometimes they don't like it when you hit them. Some people don't like that.
No.
Well,
no.
You see what happens. You provoke the beast and see what happens.
Depends what he's hitting.
Right. If they say, well, their face. And if he says, please stop, then you stop.
Yeah.
But sometimes you see.
I
get really bored.
That's the only time I've ever drawn the line in the bedroom.
Hitting?
Because
if you
hit
back, then you go to jail.
Well, right. I'll hit, but it's like there's like sexy fun hit, but there was this one. I told Drew this is crazy, scorching hot Armenian girl.
Side note, whatever you're about to say, every guy has a story like that. Where they're like, beat the crap out of me. And you're
wanted me to like do combos. And
I don't
like,
want that.
I used to
do combos.
I used to like pull her hair out so hard that like there'd be handfuls of hair. Like if I was holding a fist, it would be coming out the side. And I'm like, this is not cool. And she loved, like the more I pulled that hair, the harder.
Because she needs someone, she's Armenian. She needs hair removal. She's
I guess
like, this
so,
would be cheaper.
And she's like, no, go to my back, bro.
I'll drive the Uber home. I have really breakable hair, and on the rare occasion that a guy has grabbed my hair, I'm like, ow, ow, the hair at the temples breaks. It's such like a nerdy Jewy thing. I'm like, my hair's going to break.
That's how I always envision Drew, like, because Drew has a massive penis, and he's muscular and beautiful, but like I always imagine him like changing in from Thor, like Thor Dr. Drew, to like this nevishy guy. Like,
don't touch my hair.
Yeah, where he's like, look at me, I'm nude with my massive dong. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, but this is a little bit cold
hair
in here. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a bit, can we just go to bed? 1-800-LOVE.
Worst Jewish accent.
Well, it wasn't necessarily.
It was like just, Russian, but
no,
also
Borat. But he just doesn't want so much Jew
it
with
wasn't,
nevish.
It wasn't.
He's like, I got two modes. I got Mexican, and I got whatever that
it
was.
It wasn't my Jew. To be honest, it wasn't my Jewish accent. It was a particular Jewish gentleman that we all in this room know. So I feel bad doing because it wasn't even like the
That's
broad,
really
vague Jewish accent. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Everyone, give us a call. Eliza Schlesinger is our guest.
It's his
and
gum.
Now we take your calls.
I thought it was an eraser. Why it's would Mike's you leave gum. Your gum out? I've been touching it.
You're so crazy because I told you to your face. That's my gum paper.
I wasn't listening. I've been touching this gum. I thought it was an eraser.
I saw you take out your gum, and I said, "Here, Eliza, here's the gum paper."
No.
Yes.
That happened.
No, if only we had some way to record the past.
Well, it was off the air. Listen, there's one thing that doesn't make me go, bleh, and it's razors that I don't have to, you know.
Hang on. Liza's trying to get rid of her hand right now. Right. She's trying to cast it off.
Trying to get rid of
because
my hand.
Razors nowadays are loaded with shave technology that you don't need. And you want to touch your face after you use DollarShaveClub.com
technology. I'm
going
to use a razor to slit my hand off from Dollar Shave Club.
Don't go to the store and mess around with having to go behind plexiglass. Do it the smarter way.
It's so big.
That's what she said. DollarShaveClub.com delivers amazing...
Big chew? Sorry.
Dollar Shave Club delivers amazing shaving technology and razors and grooming supplies.
I'll touch it too. It's not so bad.
For a great price.
It doesn't matter.
Upgrade to the smarter way to shave.
No,
shave time.
At my hand with
shave money. DollarShaveClub.com. That's DollarShaveClub.com. It's Loveline.
This is Loveline.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
You ready to get kinky?
Okay, I'm talking to Bretty's Denellis fans right now. Admit it, it's you.
Ah!
Now, we know you're out there because since he went on his little hiatus, you've been bombarding us with emails. Where's Brett? Where's Brett? Where's Brett? Well, guess what? You win! Bretty's Denellis is coming back to Podcast One. But this time, it's commercial-free, which should make you even happier. Just go to podcastone.com/Brett and subscribe to the all-new commercial-free Brett Easton Ellis podcast. Podcastone.com/Brett, B-R-E-T.
Anderson, come on. The beautiful, the very talented, the very smart Eliza Schlesinger joins us.
Thank
her
you.
New stand-up special, Freezing Hot, available on Netflix right now. And also, she will be coming to your town. I guarantee it. Go to Eliza.com to find out when.
Yes.
Hello, Ryan.
Hey, long-time listener. I had a question for Dr. Ju, actually. It's a little off the forum topic, but my question's about PrEP, Truvada, for HIV negative people who are looking to possibly prevent HIV infection and what some of the side effects are and the more serious side effects and what I should be looking for.
Well, most of the side effects are sort of minor, like nausea, diarrhea, that kind of thing.
Okay.
But there has been some more serious Truvada you're taking, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. There've been some kidney effects that have been of concern over time, but you know, the risks are pretty low these days, and so that's why it become an option.
Okay.
Do you have a partner who has HIV?
No, I don't. I'm actually pretty celibate because HIV, you know, really scares the living, you know, what out of me.
You're celibate and you're still taking pre-exposure prophylaxis.
Yes, because
you know, one of the side effects is HIV. You know,
yes,
that, right?
Of course. Okay. Of course. It's more for the psychological effect because I also have a long history of depression and some other emotional issues. And the HIV factor has kind of really scared me.
That's like wearing a condom to masturbate.
Who I am.
I used to do that.
But you did. You used to wear a condom to masturbate to get ready, right?
No, I used to wear a condom to masturbate because it made me feel like a big boy.
That's a little weird.
He just called you weird.
Yeah. Yeah, wait a second. You're the one taking anti-AIDS meds to not hump. I'm the one who's weird?
No, I mean, I still hump, but, you know, it's...
So you're a celibate.
It's another layer of protection. I mean, I'm not promiscuous is what, you know, society would think of a gay man.
Yeah, but you said you're a celibate. That's very
celibate
different.
Celibate means you're not having sex.
Well, I'm also a little nervous on the phone, so...
All right. So you're not celibate, you're just not promiscuous.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So good.
And does Truvada have any issues with people who have had issues with depression, bipolar, or anything?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, things like fatigue and mood disturbances, I would be worried about with that kind of thing. But that's not what we typically worry about with Truvada.
You also might be fatigued from not masturbating for 3 to 4 days.
Oh, there's that.
That's true. That's why I have Cialis.
Not
that way. Just kidding about that.
No, that was funny. Right? No, you were on the right on the money.
You listen carefully.
Yes.
Have you tried praying?
I'm sorry?
Nothing. I'm just kidding.
So good. All right. So it sounds like you're taking care of yourself, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
All right, dude.
All right, well, thank you. I really appreciate
all right.
that.
All right, man.
It's an anti-HIV pill? Like a preventative pill?
Yeah, yeah. They like 96% reduce the risk of transmission.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's called pre-exposure prophylaxis. It's a little controversial, but, you know, if it's primarily thought of for something, for a partner of somebody who's known to be HIV positive.
Right. Not just taking it right. just in case.
Yeah.
Which That's makes sense to me, you know, like.
But they're talking about using it more broadly, too, though.
Wow.
Hey, Eliza. I don't want to bring up something that like you've gone over a million times that's boring and dumb, but
yes, I will. I'm comic standing. What?
No, sorry. Didn't you date a guy who like pretended to go to like Princeton or Yale?
That's
or...
the one whose face I sat on and came in
that
his
was
own
him?
Face. Yeah, he was a sociopath.
Oh, you did say he was a sociopath. That's true. That's, you did
yeah,
say that.
And
I'm diagnosing.
That's
such
the
a
only
thing,
reason
right?
I brought it up is because I thought it was so fascinating, and I knew Drew would love it. Like, we did a call in an open forum one time about, like, the biggest lies you've ever perpetuated in a relationship. Yep. And there were plenty of dudes who pretended to be lawyers, doctors.
It's insane. After it happened to me, I wrote an article about it. And I wrote it just to kind of, it was cathartic.
Yeah.
The amount of people who do that or have had it done to them. Like, I not got off easy. It was horrible. But the amount, I have a fan who was like, I've been married to a woman for 10 years. She has a child in another country. She
oh
never
my
told me. She's been
God.
Sending her money. Things like that. Like, people are insane.
The
you
stuff
know?
They compartmentalize and hide and things.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
And, you know, money being taken away, other family members existing, just lies about everything. And so, yeah, it's a pretty crazy thing. And it's not something that's talked about. We have the show Catfish, but these are a legit relationship. It's not a
right.
catfish.
Right. Like, you were with this guy for a considerable amount of time.
I was
right?
friends with him for a year, and then we dated for 3 months.
What did he claim?
The day I met him on an airplane, you know, he sat next to someone.
Yeah.
He told me he went to Yale. I'm like, oh, cool. My cousin went there. Like, not a big deal. Went to Yale and was starting his own hedge fund. He worked at a hedge fund.
Okay.
He did work at one, but so he went to Yale. And then over time, he liked me. I wasn't into him. He told me he bought a house. And then one day he told me his mother had cancer. So I, you know, felt bad for him, all this stuff. And we were very good friends. We spent a lot of time together. And then, you know, your heart goes out to someone. And over the course of the 3 months, it just kind of things started not adding up looking back in retrospect, random little things. Came to a turning point. My mother was like, something's not right here. You know, she's like, my mom's Judge Judy. And she called the Yale registrar's office.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, we have no record of Brian Murphy having attended Yale. And so that's when everything, I went and checked all these other things. It's an odd story and people call me stupid, but when you care for someone... Your wife tells you something, you're going to believe her. You love someone, you're with someone.
Anything my wife says is gospel to me.
Yeah, this is a like sweet, kind of nerdy, like preppy. Like there was no bad boy streak in this person. Anyway, and it all just came crashing down. And he was just like, I never bought a house. I never went to Yale. And then I found out after I'd broken up with him, a friend of a friend was like, his mom doesn't have cancer. Like none of it was real.
Oh, never. Man.
Even when we broke up, he texted me. He's like, yeah, I'm looking at office space downtown for the new hedge fund. None of it's real. As far as I know, I think he's like $160,000 in debt and he lives at home in Chicago with his mom.
Dude.
No idea. Well, you're just like, I have no idea who I dated.
I honestly like that sucks. And he should not do that at all. And of course, but part of me like really feels bad for him. Like what the torture must be to have to like make up stuff like that.
I don't have the capacity to feel bad because I went through it.
Sure,
but
exactly.
I suppose if I met someone and I saw their human side to it for someone else, believe we live in a society where too many people get passes for being absolutely horrible, and there's not enough culpability on a personal level in general. So no, and I also believe if you've got issues, keep them to yourself. And the second you put something on someone else, I'm a comic. People are always putting crap on each other.
Yeah,
so,
that's a good point.
To say that I hope that this person dies is an understatement.
1-800
and then giggles.
that's
she sat on his face, so she's got that.
I got the last laugh, and he came in his own face, so I got
what?
Two last
I
laughs.
Did that once.
He threw off a condom and it splashed.
Oh, yeah.
Where were you? You were knee deep in a salad, defending your stinky salad.
Do you want to know how very quickly how I came in my own face?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good story.
Does it end with you coming in your face?
Yes.
Okay.
I was in, I was living on the East Coast, and I grew up here in Southern California, and as you can see, I am tinged with my Mexican honey glaze. So I never had like any desire to ever go to a tanning salon. It was never something that even crossed my mind. This is probably like 1998, 99. I'm living on the East Coast, and I experienced my very first, like, real debilitating winter. So all the locals are like, dude, just go to a tanning salon. It's totally awesome. It's like the thing to do. Like, what do you mean? He's like, it's a place you go and you like sit and it's like being in the sun, blah, blah, blah. So, all right, I'm down with this. So I go, and this girl at the counter explains how it works. She said, just get in this tube.
Yeah.
Get naked and stand there for 12 minutes. Absolutely do not open your eyes. That's the only thing. Don't, because it's bad for your eyes. All right, fine. Easy enough. So I get naked, get in, keep my eyes closed. And after like three of the 12 minutes, I'm like, well, this is boring. What am I going to do? So I start beating off.
Sure.
And
totally logical in a public place.
Because I am
male.
I am told not to open my eyes. And I'm really scared S-less of opening my eyes because I don't want to burn them. I don't realize that there's like this industrial power fan at the bottom shooting up to prevent me from overheating. So as soon as I blow a load, this fan blows like my entire right into my face, like it was targeted.
Question.
Yeah.
Did you get sunspots because of it?
Like, no, because I would have if I stood, which if I was funnier and cooler, I should have stayed in there and let it burn my jizz into my face. But I freaked, I ran out.
Would those parts of his skin, let me ask you this because you're a doctor, be better looking in the long run because they were fortified with protein?
No.
Okay. So don't do that, folks.
Can't you lie just to help us out, Drew?
No.
All of us gentlemen out there?
Are there any health benefits to swallowing jizz?
Nah.
Gentlemen, girls out there listening, don't
listen. But there's no downside.
If the guy has some viral conditions, certain viruses can get through that way, but that's it.
Same with the breast milk that I drank, right?
Yeah.
Where you're like, well, Drew, what's the worst could happen? AIDS.
There is HIV.
I'll never forget that moment.
Moms give it to their kids.
No, I solicited for girls to bring in their breast milk. This is years ago, before I could get my own from my wife. And this girl brought it in randomly.
That's so gross.
And I was about to drink it off the air. I'm about to drink it on the air, and I look over to Drew. I go, Drew, level with me. What's the worst that could happen? He's like, AIDS, easily.
Yeah, easily.
No, you go the worst is AIDS.
It lasts that long in it? Doesn't AIDS die like on contact with the air?
Hold on, we only got one more break. Elias Schlesinger's here. More with her straight ahead here on Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
No one else can find the trouble so quickly or repair it so economically.
Loveline is coming back.
Thank goodness football season is finally here. And no matter what you're into, we've got you covered. We've got the self-titled Ross Tucker Football Podcast. If you want to know what's going on in the NFL, we've got the Fantasy Feast. If you want to make sure you are best prepared for your fantasy team this year, or how about the Even Money Podcast for those of you that like to wager on the games.
Available now.
At podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Yeah. Oh no. I don't even know if I should take this.
Do it.
All right. Well, I'm saying for the sake of our beautiful guest, Eliza Schlesinger.
Worst she could do is she just go. Bleh.
Yeah. Okay. Hello, George.
Hey, what's up, guys? Liv Tyler, or you live, or whatever.
You live.
Yeah.
All right. My question's for Eliza. It's obvious you're a total babe. I go to a lot of
clubs
like Irvine and Brea, and there's a lot of really funny, attractive women. I have to know, since you're around a lot of women comedians, like what? How do you win them over? Like, is there something about them, like that?
Oh, if you're a male suitor,
are you asking me or for a guy? Because I don't win them over.
Like, how does a guy win a comedian's heart? A female comedian is very funny and attractive.
Okay, I can only speak from what I know that I like and a couple of the stronger women I know. If she's not totally insane, because some of them are super gross.
Okay.
I think. First of all, we're women, so ask us questions. We like to talk. Everybody likes to talk about themselves. And don't try to be funny. If you are a funny guy and you crack a joke, like, that's cute. But, and this is assuming you're talking to a comic that's good versus, like, a garbage open micer. I think intelligence and just being sweet, I think we're supposed to be these, like, really strong things on stage that are, like, commanding everything. And then men think that that's how we are and we're these, like, ball breakers. But I think there's something to be said for a guy that's firm, but also very kind. Because at least for me, when I come off stage, if I'm dating someone, I want someone that I can be vulnerable with, not someone where I have to be like doing crowd work. So that would be for me. And, you know, a lot of female comics, horrible things have happened to them. I'm not necessarily one of them, but like, you know, bad things. And so not unlike a stray animal, showing them a little bit of kindness and letting them smell your hand before you move in. Not your fingers, your hand. It's a dog reference. It kind of goes a long way, just being genuine and a little vulnerable. Guys come up to me all the time, like, I'm afraid to talk to you. I'm like, what do you think I'm going to do?
No, but I understand that.
But that's the answer.
A beautiful girl is intimidating as hell to begin with, and then you add in, like, sharp acerbic wit. I mean, that's a tough...
Just like you literally, if a guy, first of all, if you're good looking too, that's a part of it. You get rejected because if you're gross, no one wants to go out with you. I'm assuming you're a good guy. You walk up to a girl, hey, I saw your set. I thought you were super funny. I'd like to take you out sometime. That's it. And then don't talk about the set. You don't talk about the act. But for us, that's what we lead with is the sense of humor. I saw your set. I thought it was funny. So make sure you say it's funny.
That's good advice. I mean,
please don't ask me out. Thank you.
Just to add that's why I didn't want to go. I was like, oh, maybe he's like stalking her. I think that, you know, like some level of authenticity is really the most valuable kind of trait in everything you do. I mean, whether you're trying to pick up a chick or you're trying to be a comic.
Yeah. Authenticity, people can smell it.
Right. And that's what I wrote this kind of long essay that I'm planning on. I can't really talk too much about it, but it was based on the idea that everyone in every facet of the media now is like, how do we get to the YouTube generation? How do we program it? How do we make this radio show more into the 18-year-old or the 14-year-old? How do we make this TV show, like, can we add a hashtag to get, like...
Right.
And I was like, you can't, you don't program that way because that's not how you behave. If you be yourself...
It's lighting in a bottle, too. It really, there's being yourself. You look at someone like Grace Helbig, right?
Yeah.
Kind of a weirdo, a jillion followers on YouTube. You can't duplicate that.
Right.
And that's so it just comes.
It can't be contrived.
Yeah, they just latch onto it.
Yeah.
But in terms of like flirting with people, authenticity will get you farther than anything else. A guy coming up, I think, especially as women, like we can sense like that probably took a lot of guts for you to come up to me and say something nice. And I will probably give you the time of day a little bit longer than I would someone that came up and said something horrible. I might even go out with you if it's like, well, he seems really nice and there's no red flags, right. You know, in terms of giving. But if you come at me with a horrible line or you try to, if you read the game and you want to insult me, it's the biggest way to turn me off or anybody with a modicum of intelligence.
Yeah. I mean, we actually talked to Neil Strauss, the author, about it. And he's like, it's a terrible piece. It's a terrible, like, credo to live by if you want to have a lot of friendships or lasting relationships. It's probably great advice if you want to have a lot of casual sex that's meaningless. You know?
Yeah, with dummies. Mm.
Hello, Steven.
Hey, guys. You guys live.
You live.
You live.
Live Tyler.
So my girlfriend, who also lives, this question might be more directed towards Drew, but my girlfriend... who's just like a 10 in every way imaginable, has suffered from fibromyalgia for like, I want to say like 6 or 7 years. Mm. I've been trying to support her just by, you know, looking for new ways of treatment. She's kind of gone through the whole gambit of like trigger point injections, acupuncture. She's done a whole bunch of medication.
All right. So let's break it down. Is she on pain medication right now?
Yes, she's on a low-dose muscle relaxer, and she's on Grelease right now. I don't know what Grelease does, but she's on that as well.
Do you ever tell her to Grelease the Beast?
Or Grelease the Kraken.
I'm not sure. Grelease. How do you spell that? Looking right.
Grallise.
Sounds like a sassy black chick.
Yeah, I think
I think I know what this is.
Grelease.
She opened up for you a couple times, right?
Girlie. She's a large black woman.
There's no such thing as Watts. This. Somehow you're misspelling it. But
I think you gotta get your cousin.
All right, here's the deal. Three things. Hey, make sure she's not taking opiates regularly, number one. Number two, sleep disturbance. Most fibromyalgia is caused by a sleep disorder. So if you can get her sleep normalized, that will go a long way to helping the pain. Then the question becomes, why does she have the sleep disorder? That needs to be properly diagnosed. And then the other issue is whether or not she has some degree of what's called somatoform dissociation. If she had some sort of trauma growing up, oftentimes there is sort of a disconnect literally between the body and the brain. And so the body's only way to tell its tale of woe or to tell its misery is through pain. And that is something that needs trauma therapy specifically. So those are things, you know, sleep, trauma therapy, those are two things you can begin to focus on.
Hello, Anderson Gary. Hello.
How you doing?
Hey.
First off, I've been a long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you, buddy.
When Dr. Drew and Adam was down in Cincinnati.
Fantastic.
popular.
Hey, Gary, I don't mean to rush you along, but we have very little time in the show, so I just want to get right to your question.
Tell us more about the history of the show.
My question is, my wife and I have been together for 4 years, all right? And our sex life has been kind of lacking. I don't know if it's because me being a truck driver or...
I think your stories are too long.
You're only home one day a week?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's that she's...
I work from Sunday to Friday night.
Maybe you ought to talk to her about how she's feeling about you being away so much. She may feel disconnected from you. There may be something wrong with the relationship because of that.
And also try the butt.
Yeah. Also, well, we don't know how often they were having sex anymore.
Yeah.
We're out of time. Yeah.
Eliza, real quick, just before we go, are you a fan of that type of practice?
Butt sex?
Yeah.
I've never had butt sex. Mm-hmm. And I know every girl, I really haven't.
I believe you.
I suggested it once when I was drunk. I was like, let's do that. And then he was super excited. We got home. I was like, no way. I was just really, it was like at the height of being drunk, like right when you're feeling good. I was like, absolutely not. I got to go to bed and watch Frasier.
Eliza, it really has been great having you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I would love to have you back whenever you'd like.
I'll see you guys tomorrow.
You're always welcome.
You take the gum home, too.
Eliza Schlesinger's new special, Freezing Hot, available on Netflix right now. And also check Eliza.com to make sure that you know when she's coming to your town for the Freezing Hot tour. And in this crazy mixed-up world that makes you think that nobody cares, we do. Be good.
This has been Loveline.
The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station.
Loveline is produced by Ann Ingold.
Engineered by Anderson Cowan.
Loveline.
Game over, man. It's game over.
The ending just felt flat.
I do believe that is the end.